The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Grace and peace to each of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So, as most of you know, I am new to being your pastor, and I thought because of that I'd try out a different style of preaching today, a narrative style. I'd love to hear what you think after the service. I want to say one other thing before I begin my sermon. I think it's natural for us to pray for things that we want. I do that. But I think the gospel today offers us an alternative. Alexis and Brad met as law students at the University of Washington. Brad was a year ahead of Alexis. He noticed her often at the library. One day, the title of a book she was carrying prompted him to say something. The book was called The Beauty of the World. Its author was a Catholic theologian and poet. "What is that book about?" he asked. It turned out that Alexis was Catholic, a rare find in Seattle, much less in law school. The book was one she read first in college. Having recently moved, she rediscovered it and decided to give it a second read. Brad was intrigued. After discussing the book a little further, the two agreed to have coffee. They quickly discovered a mutual love for deep conversation. Within a month, they were dating. By the end of their first year together, Brad realized spirituality had become, thanks to Alexis, important to him as well. Brad told Alexis he grew up diet Catholic, which was code for Lutheran, all the substance, half the sacraments. But since high school, his faith had lapsed. Now it had been rekindled. One day, he asked Alexis if he could go with her to Mass. She was delighted. Brad went with her once, then again, and then again. It was the first time in both of their lives that they could share their faith with a partner. It deepened their relationship considerably. They prayed together, and as the cliche goes, they stayed together. Until the letter came. Almost 2 years had passed. Brad had now finished his law degree. He was practicing at a municipal firm downtown. Alexis, however, was still in school. Her deepest desire was to practice environmental law. The letter was an offer to do just that in Alaska. It was everything she wanted. She would be a fool to turn it down. When Alexis shared the news of the author, she wasn't prepared for Brad's response. Brad just couldn't understand how Alexis would even consider such an offer. Alexis, on the other hand, couldn't understand how selfish Brad appeared to be. After all, he had already started his career. What about her? Why should she sacrifice her future for him? After an explosive argument, Brad and Alexis took a breath, sat down, and talked. And they prayed. Alexis remembered a verse from her childhood. It was Matthew 7:11, where Jesus says, "Your Father in heaven will give you good things to those who ask him." Your Father in heaven will give good things to those who ask him. Something good, she said to Brad, must come if we persistently ask God. So she and Brad prayed for a good thing, to fulfill their careers and stay together. 2 months later, Alexis found herself alone in Alaska. She and Brad had agreed to a long-distance relationship, but after all the phone calls, arguing, and then silence, it became clear to Alexis first, then to Brad, that things weren't working out. The situation was just too hard. Now Alexis found herself alone at Mass, not just on Sunday among other people, but sometimes during the week by herself. She pleaded desperately to God, "Please help me find a way. I want to be with Brad, but not at the expense of my career," both of which she knew were good things. Eventually, the phone calls between her and Brad stopped. Their final exchanges included words like stubborn and selfish. It was over. It was over. And in her hour of what the philosopher Martin Buber calls the loneliest darkness, Alexis knew what so many of us know. She knew the pain of prayer. The pain of prayer. The pain that comes when you ask for something reasonable, something that could make your life better, a good thing, as Jesus says, and you don't get it. A good thing in this case is not winning the lottery or getting a new iPhone. It's something much more profound, less material. It's the continuation of a relationship that would have been fruitful and life-giving. What do we do when such a prayer goes unanswered? Do we stop praying for things? Do we assume that God hears us but answers our prayers in other ways? I think it's natural for us to pray for things. I do it. Or to assume, as some of us do, that God sometimes answers our prayers in ways we don't know or anticipate. But might there be another way to think about prayer, especially when we don't get what we want? The answer is yes. And Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, offers it. Luke and Matthew share a lot in common. Most biblical scholars think they relied on Mark and another gospel, now lost, to retell the Jesus story to audiences later in the first century. Recall Matthew 7, the verse Alexis quoted to Brad. There Jesus tells his listeners that if they ask, their Father in heaven will give them good things. You can imagine, and I want you to think about this, Alexis's pain when thinking about that verse. Did God not hear her prayer? Did she do something wrong? Did God not fulfill his promise? Why didn't God grant a good thing by keeping her and Brad together? Now consider Brad. Like Alexis, he kept going to Mass. On weekdays during lunch, he would spend time alone in the pews of his church, a church much like this one. One day, he found himself leafing through a New Testament in the pews. And as he did, he happened upon Luke 11, our gospel for today. This is what he read. Search, and you will find. Ask, and you will receive. Knock, and the door will be opened. Your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Notice the difference. In Luke's version of Matthew 7, Jesus tells us not to pray for good things, but to pray for the Holy Spirit. So that's what Brad did. And beginning in those moments, the Holy Spirit did something for Brad it hadn't yet done for Alexis. It brought him a moment of peace in the midst of pain, a brief calm in the midst of an emotional storm, hope in the midst of great despair. Don't get me wrong, Brad still felt pain. He still felt regret. He still hoped he and Alexis would reconcile. But gradually, and in small doses, the Father delivered to Brad what he promised through the Spirit. Peace. The inexplicable peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Peace. In Luke 11, Jesus promises something that nobody can take away. In moments of deep hurt and loss, you can turn the pain of prayer into the power of prayer by praying not for things, but for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you see, is the presence of God that dwells within us, a presence that gives us what Ephesians 3 calls the inner strength to go on in the face of loss. The inner strength to go on in the face of loss. Gradually over time, the Holy Spirit instills within us what the German poet Rainer Maria Rilke calls equanimity. Equanimity, which is stability or composure, especially under tension or strain. It brings inner peace. This is why, in our prayers of worship, you will notice how often we pray not for things, but for states of being, for the right disposition. We are doing implicitly what Brad did explicitly. We are praying for the Holy Spirit to hold us up, to dwell within us, to give us strength to face the sometimes grueling, and I know many of you know this feeling, the sometimes grueling, even devastating hardships in life, especially loss. Now consider what happens to God when we pray to the Holy Spirit. Enter the theologian. God doesn't just send his Spirit from above. God is the Spirit, and the Spirit comes to us and dwells within us. We experience the Spirit as the innermost depth of our being, as the life that draws us forward in the face of loss and tragedy. Can you imagine with me what this does to God as the Spirit working in and through us? When we suffer, when we experience the numbing, bottomless despair that comes with grief and loss, God takes it into God's self and feels it. Why? Because God isn't watching from heaven. As the Holy Spirit, God dwells within us and receives our suffering as his own. Such, says Martin Luther, is the great fire of the love of God for us. A love, he adds, which neither prophet, nor apostle, nor angel was ever fully able to express, and which no heart could adequately fathom or marvel at. Hear this. We are not alone in our suffering. When we weep, God weeps, only infinitely more as the completely self-giving ground of the whole cosmos who lives in and through us, not above us as some spectator in the sky. When Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, to knock, he's telling us to pray for the presence of God in our lives, the healing presence of the divine that motivates and enables us to face our difficulties, our hardships, and our challenges. The presence of God dwelling within us does not give us everything we want, nor does it solve our problems for us. Instead, it empowers us to face these problems ourselves, to confront loss, to face despair, to go on instead of giving up. Notice too what Jesus says in Luke's gospel. Jesus there uses what are called imperatives: ask, search, knock. These are present imperatives in the original Greek, the tense of continuing action. So here, everybody hear what Jesus is saying to each of you now in this passage. When you struggle, when you despair, continually ask for the Holy Spirit. Keep on asking and knocking. Ask habitually and faithfully. Do not be afraid to ask, and do not be discouraged from asking. God will give you God's self, the Spirit. God dwells within you. God will empower you. Over time, God will gradually stand you back up and grant you peace. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, Psalm 34:18 says, and saves the crushed in spirit. Another translation of saves, heals. He will deliver you, not by granting you things, but by welling up within you as His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the source of inner strength, the state of equanimity, just as He did gradually in time for Brad. Brad and Alexis never got back together, but Brad and eventually Alexis slowly came to terms with their loss thanks to the Holy Spirit, explicitly for Brad, implicitly for Alexis. Obviously, we are not gods, but God dwells in us and works through us as the power of healing. When you experience loss, seek out friends and family. Reach out to your church family and its pastor too. Share your burden with others. We are here for you. And don't forget to call upon the Holy Spirit. Ask and you will receive. Search and over time you will find. Knock and the door will ultimately be opened. Trust that God will inwardly save you from distress, that God will ultimately grant you His favor and give you His peace. Amen.